I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. We welcome back the returning champ. He's Batman. He's Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, welcome back, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Trudy. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I appreciate you answering the call. Wanted to start today, well, unless you want to talk about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard.
No, I'll take a pass on that one.
I wish, everyone wishes I would have taken a pass. But anyways, let's turn to the politics. The Gableman has far exceeded his budget. I thought that was the one assurance we'd been given by Robin Voss. This red herring of an investigation would not be over budget. It's vastly over budget.
It's about 25% over budget already. Remember, Voss said the budget was $676,000. Well, it's coming in already at $896,500, getting close to $900,000. It's going to break $1 million before he's done.
Oh, that's easily. Our money. That's, easily.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of open litigation, if you believe Gableman, and the whole rationale for keeping him on at half pay, right? Waiting for the courts, waiting for the lawsuits to come around.
I mean, it's your money. It's the listeners. Anyone who's listening right now in your car or in your home or at your office, you're paying for this clown who's been running this circus that just won't leave town.
Well, you know what? Here's if there's a silver lining, man, I think this is it. The fact that Gableman is still on the payroll and the fact that they got to keep him, what, healthy and ready for the litigation to come, you know, got to go fight those mayors. Well, all those things probably preempt any thoughts of what, putting Gableman on the Wisconsin Elections Commission?
I mean,
that's been bantered about quite a bit lately.
I hope so. I mean, Senator Kathy Bernier said she'd hit the roof if Voss appointed him to the Wisconsin Elections Commission to replace the retiring Dean Knutson. Actually, Senator Bernier has thrown her hat in the ring, saying that she is the most qualified Republican. I actually think it's true to be on that commission because she's a former clerk and head of the Wisconsin State Senate Committee on Elections. But the base would not like Senator Bernier on there either. So, yeah, there was talk about Voss appointing Gableman, and then I thought maybe he would because he said he wants a lawyer there. I can't believe he'll do that at this point. The other worry was that Gableman was going to run for Wisconsin Supreme Court next spring. I don't think that's likely to happen now either, but who knows?
You know, Matt, it's interesting that Gableman and Bernier, at least amongst Republicans, they're sort of polar opposites. And in fact, one of the interesting tidbits in the reporting of Patrick Marley at the Journal Sentinel is that Gableman reimbursed the state of Wisconsin $234, not for going out to see Maricopa County and the Cyber Ninjas, not for going out to the Cyber Symposium by Mike Lindell in South Dakota, that we, the taxpayers, paid for.
And Voss said we wouldn't have to, but we ended up paying the bill for it.
But the $234 he's returning is for when he went to the Chippewa Falls Republican Party dealy bop and traveled there to basically trash Bernier in her own district.
Told her she should resign. But yeah, I mean, it was such a partisan thing that he couldn't, I don't think Voss could really justify it. So, but what's $234 when his trip to South Dakota with Mike Lindell was paid for and his trip to the Ninjas in Arizona was paid for?
Yeah, that's quite interesting. And of course, the running tab apparently just soon to crest over $1 million. And what about this office? Again, in the reporting, it would appear the office is what, vacant? They had the shared office with the liposuction clinic, and sort of late in the contract, they bought some furniture. And what, if they abandoned the office, is Gableman zooming it in at this late hour?
Lord knows, you know, what he's doing or where he's working, but this is, you know, the ringmaster of this pathetic circus that he's been running now for upwards of a year and getting close to upwards of $900,000. And it's a huge embarrassment to the state. I think it's a huge embarrassment and kind of a nightmare for Robin Voss, but it's a nightmare of his own making. I mean, he hired Gableman. There were other capable Republican lawyers out there. He could have hired Rick Essenberg, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, to do this thing.
Yeah, but the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty had already come to the determination there was no widespread voter fraud, Batman.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, even people like Rick Essenberg, who runs the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, no idiot, said out loud in their report there wasn't widespread fraud. Knutson, Deed Knutson, took a parting shot when he said he's resigning and said there is no fraud here. Kathy Bernier said it's all a charade. So there are sensible Republicans out there who want to bring the Republican Party back to reality, you know, instead of, you know, just engaging in ridiculous falsehood. And those who are engaging in the ridiculous falsehood, Gableman, Janelle Branchon, your friend Ramphin, you know,
our buddy.
I mean, these people are not only are for falsehood over truth, but they're for authoritarianism over democracy. And they just want raw power, and they want to, you know, get rid of any of the guardrails protecting the norms of democracy and just throw it all out.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got Batman live in studio here, Madison, Wisconsin World Headquarters. And we're talking about the ongoing, the embarrassment of this ongoing investigation. And the embarrassment is, of course, it started with a guy who admitted effectively he was corrupted. He already had a preconceived notion from day one. Gableman said it was rigged publicly, came out and said it was rigged.
2 days after the election, with no investigation, no facts whatsoever, just said he doesn't want bureaucrats stealing our election. He told a Trump crowd right after the election, and then Voss appointed him.
Well, think about the interesting, the selling of the soul that Robin Voss has made. And this all predicated on the fact that, what, Donald Trump called him down to Alabama, got on a private plane, flew with Trump to an Alabama rally for Trump, where he was probably crapping on some candidate he didn't like or whatever the case may be. But Robin Voss, once he took the bait, once he went and kneeled at the throne of Trump, well, now he's stuck. And you know, Bernier knows that this is false. I mean, hell, we've been playing the ads, the People for People, People ads here, right here on the radio station.
I mean, that's Paul Ryan. That's the former Speaker of the Assembly from Janesville who's saying there wasn't a fraud.
Well, not only that, but that's Ron Johnson doing the math exactly. And justifying the fact that it wasn't a rigged election, not here in the state of Wisconsin. Ron, I get confused. Those two very similar. Donald Trump effectively didn't turn out the same number of votes that Republican congressional and assembly candidates did. And it was like 51,000 differential, as Ron Johnson is caught on tape saying. So Ron knows it's a fraud, but if we believe the reporting, man, Ron Johnson is the big impetus while this otherwise moderate Republican, Dean Knutson, jumped off the board. When Ron Johnson calls and said, "You've lost the confidence of the party, son." Well, the guy thought it was time to fall on his sword.
You know, I kind of wish, first of all, Ron Johnson doesn't say in public what you got on tape and running that ad all the time that, you know, the election wasn't stolen. I'd like to hear Ron Johnson say that in public. I also think Dean Knutson, though I applaud him for telling the truth and throwing cold water on the heads of these Republicans who want to say 2 + 2 = 5, you know, if he was really courageous, he would have stayed on and said, you know, "I'm going to be the next chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. I was appointed by Robin Voss. He hasn't told me to go. So I'm going to stay and I'm going to be chair." He could have been chair because the Democrats would have voted for him.
Now Voss has a tremendous quandary because the engagement level of the right is predicated on the big lie. They built on this foundation of sand. And as soon as their side stops believing that it was rigged and that they got screwed, well, then they lose their engagement level. But the only way to keep stoking the fire is to keep feeding the monster. So you need Gableman, and hell, you know, Robin Voss might need a crazy loon bat like Gableman on the Elections Commission. But of course, it comes at the undermining of democracy, and quite frankly, it could split the Republican Party. That's what I'm cheering for, man.
And they also have they already have a loon on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and Bob Spindell, one of the false electors who wouldn't recuse himself from the complaint to the Wisconsin Elections Commission from Law Forward that they should investigate the false electors.
Now, Matt, did you see that Dana Nessel, the Attorney General of the state of Michigan, is apparently preparing charges against the false electors in the state of Michigan? Now, she also referred to the Department of Justice and said, clearly, you know, this follows a pattern. This is multi-jurisdictional, and it's more than just the state of Michigan. Therefore, I defer to the DOJ. But she's also separately preparing state-level charges, or at least reportedly, bringing state-level charges against the fake electors in Michigan. Now, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and it was a 6-0 band, so it wasn't a partisan. There's clearly not a clear precedent in the law that said you can't be a fake elector and go turn against the will of the voters, or I believe the Wisconsin Elections Commission would have found something differently. It might have been a 3-3, it might have been a 4-1 or a 4-2, but the fact it was a 6-0, I don't think Mark Thompson and Ann Jacobs went along with the false electors premise. I think there's just not a law prohibiting it unless you go a little bit deeper and think, well, maybe they're committing fraud.
Yeah, I think
there maybe it's a criminal charge, not a simple elections complaint.
I think there are laws that they could have said were being violated, and you know, I can't.
But they're not an investigatory body. The Elections Commission's just evaluating, you know, is it illegal under campaign law? And if it is not currently illegal, well, then it's not illegal.
Not illegal under campaign law, but there are other laws that it might be illegal.
Yes, under. I concur.
And so where is Attorney General Josh Call?
Where is Attorney General Josh Call? I mean, really, man, shouldn't the guy's up for re-election and maybe he didn't want to come off as a partisan, but he has said plenty of things that toe the party line. It's not like Josh Call isn't saying anything political currently. Where is Josh Call? Why would he not be the proper authority to find charge if merited? And I mean, man, the evidence is in public. They send it to the National Archives. How do you not have enough evidence to charge fraud?
And you know, I think people over at Law Forward have been asking Josh Call, are you going to investigate? I mean, they asked DA Ozan here in Dane County to investigate. And to my mind, he hasn't started an investigation. I don't know if he flat out said, I'm not going to do anything.
I believe Chisholm in Milwaukee County, their office deferred, said this is not a local jurisdictional issue.
Well, any DA, especially DA here in Madison, where it happened, could bring a charge. Josh Call could bring a charge. Merrick Garland, of course, could bring a charge too. But yeah, I want Josh Call to get off the dime on this.
Is that what we're waiting for? We're waiting for the Federal Department of Justice, if they don't act. Because, Matt, I mean, you're a good governance guy. I'd like to think my heart's with good governance, you know, even if that doesn't advantage my team all the time. But Matt, this cannot be permitted. We can't allow cycle after cycle, you know, both parties, what, run out false electors? And you just throw them against the wall and see what sticks. And if, you know, if no one stops you, you just take the presidency. I mean, that's the plan, right?
Well, this is what I mean. The guardrails are down, and they're just running over our democracy here by just saying, I don't care what the vote count is, our guy won, you know.
Well, that's the
like it or lump it. I mean, it's real playground bully stuff.
What's the new? I'm terrible with the name. The Pennsylvania, the Trump endorsed Mastriano guy. I mean, that effectively he's being forward thinking. You know, let me tell you how I'm going to rule on the next election, because the will of the people, the votes of the people, no longer matter. Matter, at least that's the way they'd like to set it up. Are you concerned about the Wisconsin Republicans sort of setting a trap for Doug LaFollette and for the elections? And if effectively they win the Secretary of State's office, and Doug LaFollette's 84, I think he'll win re-election. But if he doesn't, and they've got the governor's office, etc., man, I think they plan on stealing the apparatus of the elections here.
Yes, they want to destroy the Wisconsin Election Commission, either hand the duties over to the Secretary of State if it's a Republican, Amy Laudenbach, or just say it's up to the legislature, us, to administer the elections and certify the elections. So we're in charge, and if we don't like what the vote count is, we're going to say our guy won anyway. That's not voter suppression. That's voter nullification.
Now, do you think our boy Robin Voss would, you know, stand by the will of the voters if he loses his primary here? Or do you think if it was within his legislative will, he would retain himself because, you know, he owes it to the people?
That would be a tough one. If the Republican voters throw him out, he's going to be hard-pressed to stay in power.
Come back. I got Batman in studio. He's Matt Rothschild. You're listening to The Devil's Advocates.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I got to find Cole Devil for at least a little bit longer. Hell, he's going to stick around until Dom joins us at 4 o'clock. My fine co-devil, Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Call him Batman around here. Matt, I've got to wonder, are you looking forward to the January 6th committee, the public hearings starting on June 9th? Sort of an early birthday gift for yours truly.
When's the birthday?
Oh, me and Dom, we're both Geminis. I'm June 12th. He's June 14th.
Oh, really?
He shares a birthday with Trump.
Oh, God. I am definitely looking forward to the hearings. I'm hoping that they get a lot of viewership and listenership, and I hope America comes to realize how close we came to losing our democracy on January 6th, and that people see how high the mountain of evidence is that Trump was behind this whole thing to overturn our democracy.
Now, they're supposed to do the first public hearing is going to be in primetime, man. My understanding, 7, 8 o'clock at night. We will play it live right here on Devil Radio in the Shaw. And across the network. But I would hope it's half as compelling as the Amber Heard Johnny Depp's been to the American people. Because when it's pop culture, Matt, oh, it's got an audience. But when it's just, you know, democracy at stake, will the American people care? Will this be a game changer? Will this be a modern day Watergate? And will this be made, you know, perhaps with the pace of a movie like Maverick? They need to keep it moving for the American people. Short attention spans.
Well, I do hope they have some decent producers on, you know, on the payroll here. And, you know, let's remember, Watergate wasn't riveting for quite a while, unless you like Sam Irvin's bouncing eyebrows. But ultimately, it got riveting when John Dean testified. And so the question is, how slow is it going to be before the fireworks start? I kind of like your idea that I heard while I was driving around while you were listening to your show, when you said, give it to Liz Cheney. Let her run the show. I think Liz Cheney is gold, and they need to bring her forward.
Well, apparently there will be one House manager effectively for each day of the impeachment. And the first one, June 9th, will be the primetime affair. And then the following week, sort of interspersed around our birthdays, June 13th, which I believe is the Monday, June 15th, and then I believe like June 16th, and then they were going to wrap up again with, I believe, June 21st. I'll have to check my calendar. But effectively, five or six public hearings through the middle of June, and sort of culminating with another primetime conclusion, the summary, the verdict, guilty, at least hopefully in the, you know, court of public opinion.
Yeah, what we're looking for is people's to just kind of gasp, ultimately to have a feeling of revulsion and disgust at what Trump was trying to pull off, and kind of an, oh my God, I didn't realize that Trump was behind this. I didn't realize that he really was not going to leave office and didn't care what the votes were. He was just going to stay in power no matter what. And
didn't realize he was cheering for the hanging of his vice president,
yes,
apparently
a,
in real time.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to stun any on the right? Do you think they're thinking, yeah, we should hang Mike Pence? Or do you think they're thinking, wow, maybe that's a line the president shouldn't cross, cheering for the insurrectionist to hang the VP?
I mean, we've been waiting for 5 or 6 years for people to get fed up with Trump and the outrageous things that he has said. But yeah, cheering for your vice president to get hanged by a mob that you have ginned up is probably the lowest of the low. And I would hope that, yeah, all but the people on Righty Whitey Talk Radio, as you call them, are going to be a lot of folks in Republican land, and independents and suburban moms are going to look at this and say, this is just a little bit too far. And
now,
I can't be on board with this anymore.
Do you think they'll lay out the evidence against the Jim Jordans of the world and perhaps the Mo Brooks and the Scott Perrys? Jim Jordan, I saw a timeline. He was very intimately involved in the calls as early as like November 6th. Like, hey, this doesn't feel right. Let's find justification to overturn the election. And then you look at differing planning stages. Jim Jordan was a participant in the calls. And we know that Eastman, this John Eastman, this guy that apparently worked at a private institution, but suddenly became the acting, attorney general of the United States and maybe soon to be more. This guy had a coup plot, effectively, and knew that it was illegal, acknowledged as much in different emails with, I believe it was Mark Jacob, who was the vice president's counsel. But Eastman continues to come to the state of Wisconsin and met with Robin Voss about a month and a half, 2 months ago, and still thinks we can decertify the last election, man. Still wants to overturn it. I'm waiting for a perp walk, man.
Yeah, but, you know, ultimately those are the little fish. And the question is, are they going to get the big fish? And Trump's the big fish. And I'm waiting, as you are, for Merrick Garland Day and that indictment to come down on Trump. And I assume when these hearings are over that the time for stalling at the U.S. Attorney General's office is over. And Merrick Garland is going to have to get off the pot here and give us some indictments.
I hear that Trump, and, you know, I have no particular insight other than the reporting I read, but Trump is getting anxious to get out there and start campaigning. And my thought process is he's anxious to beat the indictments, because whether it's Fulton County in Georgia, whether it's, you know, perhaps the Attorney General of the state of New York, or whether it's the Department of Justice, an indictment's coming down sooner or later against Donald Trump. And of course, if he's a candidate, an active candidate for the presidency, he can claim, well, it's a political witch hunt, and perhaps have just enough cover fire to kind of live out the string, win the presidency again, and give himself a blanket pardon.
Well, I'm sure that's what he's hoping for. But, you know, I'm not convinced ultimately that he's going to run. I mean, you know, I do think he's going to be indicted by someone. I think the Georgia indictments are going to come. I mean, how much more evidence do you need than please find me, you know, 11,780 votes? I mean, that's on tape. I mean, you can't dodge that bullet.
You don't think he should have done that?
I mean, that's election tampering.
And Carter.
Plain and simple, right in front of everybody.
What about the claims of election fraud, the newest claims in the Georgia Republican primary that David Perdue lost 3-1?
That's a whole heap of fraud.
Rigged primary.
Yeah.
When you start leveling the accusations against the partisan primaries, man, there's no democracy left.
I mean, these are the worst spoiled sports in the history of athletic competitions, political competitions, you name it.
You know, Mo Brooks rationalized how it could be a rigged election at the top of the ticket, but his election completely valid. Do you know what his logic was?
No.
Well, you know, we don't have these problems in Republican primaries because the illegals only vote in the general elections.
Oh, it had to come down to that.
Finally. Well, we'd recognize them if they're voting in a Republican primary. Wouldn't look like ours, if you know what we're saying. Matt Rothschild, my fine guest. I think he's going to stick around just a bit longer. Dom joins at the top of the four. Hope you stick around. More Devil's Advocates, the Hump Day Edition.
Shame on you.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Let's turn them all on.
Let's tell all of them. We got so many people here, man. There's so many mics.
Yeah, I'm just having so much fun. I decided not to leave. So.
Holdover, though. I don't like that term. You sound like Fred Preen refusing to leave the DNR board.
When the next person is nominated, I'll leave.
Exactly. Well, you got to
the next the nominee is coming at 5:30.
Well, that's going to be a long afternoon.
You don't have to stay that long. I've only got one diet new for you, Matt. The rest are mine. Matt Rothschild, our fine guest here in the world headquarters. Gentlemen, Tony Evers, the Democratic governor of the state of Wisconsin, well, he raised the pride flag above the Wisconsin state capitol, a four-year tradition. He's the first governor ever to do so here in the state of Wisconsin. And if he loses re-election, it'll probably never happen again, at least not for the next 4 years. First and foremost, Matt, it's a nice touch. I think if I was a gay person, it would certainly be nice to be recognized and acknowledged as a human being, you know, at modicum, at minimum, by a rainbow flag over the Capitol.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of Tony Evers at his best. You know, he stands up for the rights of LGBTQ people. He's very good on issues of equality and diversity. He stands up to the really ugly far right forces. You know, he's a good, you know, backstop or goaltender or whatever you want to say. And he had a good comment when he started the tradition, saying he wanted to send a clear and unequivocal message that Wisconsin's a welcoming and inclusive place. And I think for folks who are gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender, that to see that flag flying atop the Capitol was saying, yeah, Wisconsin's a place that I could see myself living in. And now if some of these Republicans come in and they say, as they apparently are, that they would never fly such a flag on the Capitol, I mean, what kind of a message are they sending to people in Wisconsin?
Well, Matt, right here in the state of Wisconsin, I think Tim Michaels ran for, I forget his prior U.S. Senate, I think he ran for before 2004 elective cycle. Well, that was before a constitutional amendment in 2006 in the state of Wisconsin that established one man, one woman, one marriage, missionary only. That's it, folks.
And I had gay friends who left the state after that thing passed. It was such a disgusting slap in the face.
Well, and at that time, Michaels thought there should be a constitutional ban on gay marriage. Now, Clayfish, in 2010, when she was running for lieutenant governor, she said some interesting and creative things about the same sex. Fancy Brian, I think we're going to need your help. Do we have some of the historical sound of Rebecca Clayfish on the topic of the homosexuals? Play it for the people.
At what point are we going to okay marrying inanimate objects? Can I marry this table or this, you know, clock? Can we marry dogs? This is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous. And she actually goes on to say, biblically, again, I'm going to go right back to my fundamental Christian beliefs. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Apparently, she later apologized for using a poor choice of words. And you don't get, I think you get to back off a poor choice of words, my ass. You were very specific. Perhaps you didn't mean to say, can I marry a table or a clock? Perhaps you meant to say you love carpet or maybe some other inanimate object or some other mammal that you would want to compare LGBTQ rights to marry. This is Republicans at their absolute worst and trying to back off. Well, it sounds really bad looking at it 10, 12 years later. But at the time, do you think for a moment she didn't believe it when she said it?
Yeah, I mean, how derogatory, how dismissive, how dehumanizing are you going to get than saying, you know, we're going to marry a table or you're going to marry a dog? I mean, that's just disgraceful.
Well, the Walker administration, Scott Walker, preacher's kid Walker, was clearly leading with his Christianity, or at least his claimed religiosity. And we see this so much from these Republicans. I mean, that's great that you've got quote-unquote family values. But why do you get to institute your family values upon my family and other families that aren't like yours, that don't believe in the same biblical whatever the hell it is that he's posted on Facebook every morning?
But America's moved on, and Wisconsinites have moved on this issue. I mean, the vast majority of Wisconsinites, the vast majority of people in this country are approving of gay marriage right now.
Well, even the Clayfish campaign says that, you know, it's settled law, but that's what they were saying about Roe v. Wade and so many of the very same that would object to the union of two people,
right,
you know, based on love and not their biblical principles. Well, they're the very same people that would want to overturn Roe v. Wade, and I would guess Rebecca Clayfish is one of them.
Based on
as
love,
is Michaels, as is Rantham.
What if it's based on sex or based on money? It's nobody's freaking business why someone wants to get married. Oh, you can only do it when we approve of it if you love each other. Give me a break. How many regular one man, one woman marriages end in divorce in the first place? It's so hypocritical. They shouldn't be judging anybody for doing anything that they want to do that does not impact their own lives. Give me a break.
So which one'd you marry for, Dom?
The sex. It's true.
It is true. I met Mrs. Shelby. Folks, you are listening.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to try to let you off the hook, man.
No, I'm sorry.
Off the hook? He's getting credit. What do you mean?
Kind of bragging now, isn't he? She married for the sex is what you meant to say. Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's my sexy co-pilot, Dominic.
Yeah.
That's Batman, Matt Rothschild, sexy in his own regard.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, where to next?
Well, I just want to say, since it's LGBTQ month, what a great nonviolent revolution we've had in this country on gay rights over the last 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. I mean, I can remember back when Barney Frank, the gay representative from Massachusetts, great Democrat, thought it was we were going too fast on gay marriage. He thought it was going to hurt Democrats. He was in favor of it, but didn't want to pass the bill. And here we are. It's accepted now, except for those on the far right.
You know, it is interesting. We were on the air in 2014 at the Democratic Party convention, and our guest at the table at the moment was Mike Tate, the former Democratic Party chair. And Mike teared up. Mike had worked at Fair Wisconsin back in 06 and had fought against the constitutional amendment. And to see Barb Crabb, I believe, made the initial ruling that sort of opened the door. And there was a week, and there were marriages just happening.
I mean, that
and
was
love was happening. It was
ecstatic. I mean,
it was great.
Gay couples, lesbian couples running down to, the city county building.
Because they
to get
didn't
married.
Know how long that window was open.
Yeah, it was
for.
Just a euphoric event. And I'm not even gay, but I felt the euphoria, and some of my friends were going down there getting married, and it was just great. And just to see people's human rights being acknowledged, that, well, you know, they're
right.
Equal human beings as adults. They can marry who they want to in a democracy, in a free country that's supposed to, you know, recognize and celebrate people's liberty rights. I mean, this
liberty
is a liberty
and equality
right.
Under law, you know, those right. Kinds of things that so many conservatives claim they are all for it, and then actually see it come to fruition. You're right, man. It was a great thing. But I am concerned, as you know, Rebecca Clayfish was basically quoted as saying, well, you know, the rainbow flag is, it's just a prop, you know, it's used to divide people. And if she's elected, we're not going to use that rainbow flag over the Capitol. And I don't believe for a minute that if they're so belief, they have such a belief in their religion that if Roe v. Wade, that was, of course, supposed to be settled law, is now not settled law, that if for some way, shape, or form, they might change their mind on what we would all agree is settled law for gay marriage.
Well,
I don't
it's
believe
not
them
enumerated
for a minute.
In the Constitution. Use the logic of Alito.
I mean, that's what we're facing. We're facing this counter-revolutionary kind of centrifugal force from Alito, from the reactionaries at the U.S. Supreme Court, and from the Trumpites.
You gentlemen see what Paul Ryan was doing today?
No.
Paul Ryan has Who? Endorsed his... Paul Ryan, the former speaker.
Oh, okay.
Sort of lost his courage somewhere along the line after he merged his agenda with Donald Trump. Well, apparently,
and
Paul Ryan...
And then quit. Let's make sure we say that.
And yes, then quit. And then went to K Street and cashed some big checks.
And the board of Fox, too.
Well, now he apparently is he's on the campaign trail with Tom Rice down in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. And he's endorsed this guy, but I'd like to read to you briefly from Paul Ryan's statement. There are a lot of people who want to vote like Tom, but who just didn't have the guts to do it. There are a lot of people who say they're going to vote their conscience. They're going to vote for the Constitution. They're going to vote for their convictions. But when it gets hard to do it, they don't do it. Ryan said that what Trump is offering is not what voters want. This is just such a crystal clear case where you have a hardworking, effective senior member of Congress who deserves re-election against the people who are just trying to be celebrities who may be trying to help Trump with his vengeance. That's not who the voters want. Voters want people focused on their solutions, not on Trump's vengeance. And that, to me, is really a clear-cut case here. Well, I admire his words, but I think the Republican Party wants Trump's vengeance. What do you think, man? Final thoughts.
Yeah, well, and that's Paul Ryan again. You know, you quote him on that ad that you guys run all the time as saying, you know, Donald Trump lost the election, Joe Biden won the election, wasn't stolen. And he's still backing that up. So I give him a little credit for that.
Paul Ryan's final quote about the Congressman Rice. He's a nerd like me. No higher compliment ever given. Matt Rothschild, he's a superhero like us. He's Batman. He joined us here in the Devil Radio Studios. Man, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun, guys. Have fun the rest of the show.
Thanks, Matt.
Well,
good to see you, man.
Thanks. We're just doing it for the sex.
It's just me and Fancy here right now.
I hated her so much. It flames on the side of my face. Breathing, breath, heaving breaths.
Can we marry dogs?